Welcome to Talking About Organizations, a podcast on organization and management studies, graciously supported by our listeners and the Management Learning Journal. This is a supplement to episode 95, where we discuss Tom Lupton's famous ethnography, On the Shop Floor, Two Studies of Workshop Organization and Output, originally published in 1963 by Pergamon Press. Lupton's On the Shop Floor is an overlooked study that deserves renewed attention. In 1955 and 56, Tom Lupton conducted two studies of worker behavior, where he exercised participant observation by serving as a factory worker for 6 months in two separate locations. The impetus for the case studies was to identify factors contributing to workers' inabilities or unwillingness to perform in accordance with management expectations. Relating a personal experience from his youth, Lupton spoke of a time when he was ostracized by other factory workers for failing to conform to the workers' social norms, which included ending the workday a certain amount of time before the final bell. Lupton had engrossed himself in an interesting professional task so much that he failed to recognize the time, and that others were clearly irritated by his enthusiasm and diligence, and this contributed to his desire to understand the source of those social pressures. Going into the study, it seemed counterintuitive that such pressures would or should exist. After all, the factory incentivized the simple calculus that working harder should lead to better pay. Lupton was concerned that previous studies of worker behavior were biased in favor of the management position that assumed management goals and norms were sacrosanct, as he wrote in page 9, and that management and worker goals should naturally be aligned. Instead, Lupton sought to understand what the workers' motives truly were and how the behavior of workers in relation to output was a result of an interplay of social forces. The settings for the case studies were vastly different. The first, of the Y Garment Company, manufactured weatherproof garments in an industry marked with intense competition, seasonal changes in demand, high labor costs, and little involvement or support of trade unions. Lupton worked in a unit with 18 women and one other man, doing piecework, where jobs were mainly paid by the piece. The second case, of Jay's Electrical Components, manufactured large transistors, where there was little competitive pressure, stable demand, lower labor costs, and powerful trade unions. Lupton there worked in a unit with more than 20 men, but because of the complicated nature of building transistors, workers were not paid entirely on a piecework basis. Instead, the rather complex pay system made allowances for holdups beyond the workers' control. The system was so complex that few workers understood it fully, and yet they acted in ways that ensured they optimized their pay, many seeking to keep it stable from week to week. Among the findings were that conditions at Y served to preclude workers from collective action in protest against poor management, whereas the workers at J's were continuously exercising collective action to protect fellow workers from the exigencies of management decisions. At Y, workers were more isolated and had little social interaction. Protests were generally kept at the individual level, and their loyalties to the company meant that the company frequently talked workers out of leaving. On the other hand, workers at J were much more socially mobile and monitored each other constantly. There were norms that limited what was considered a reasonable level of effort, which was noticeably lower than that of management, and deviations from those norms were dealt with severely. Overall, the study has a lot to say that is relevant for contemporary times, where labor-management relations are under strain from the pandemic, and workers in many industries are choosing not to return. From the great resignation and quiet quitting to severe shortages of personnel in blue-collar firms and some professions, dissatisfaction with the state of worker management relations is gaining significant attention. What can Lupton's studies tell us about the underlying factors that may be contributing to today's problems? And that's all for now. We invite you to listen to the episode, available in two parts on our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com or through your favorite podcast streaming service. We also thank the Management Learning Journal for their generous support and the support of our wonderful listeners. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.